Now I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. I'm staring at an empty grave. And the stone that you rolled away. When I was prideful, you saw sun. When I left nightmare, you saw the one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace. Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. And three of you are with me. Very good. Good morning, Grace Point Church. Thank you. Thank you. Good to have you here. I love the bumper song Joe plays for us as we come in here. I see grace. I see grace. Grace Point Church, because we are a people of God's grace. And that's reason to be here and celebrate. So welcome to Grace Point Church, the first Sunday of a new year, right? Going to get off to a good start today. I want to read a verse of Scripture from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says this, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Where there's no vision, the people perish. It gives the implication then, where there is vision, the people flourish. We're going to talk about that a little bit later here in the service. Pray with me, if you will, as we get started. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to come back in this new year. We come back this morning for one purpose, and that is to worship you. You are the one we worship. Because you've been good to us. Because you've shown us grace and mercy and forgiveness, because you give us purpose in life. God, I pray today that you'll have opened our minds and our hearts to give us vision so we won't perish, individually and as a church. Bless us now as we worship. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, Amen. Amen. How true is that? The more we look and count God's blessings, the more we realize we could never count that high. We have much to be grateful for, no matter what our circumstances. We're going through a hard time, a difficult time. We still have many blessings to enjoy. In November of 2008, 65-year-old Jim O'Neill, a British pilot, was flying from Scotland to southeastern England. He was cruising at 6,000 feet. He was 40 minutes into his flight, and out of nowhere, he went blind in both eyes. He radioed this information. He requested help, and one Royal Air Force wing commander named Paul Gerard was finishing up a training session and was requested to come help this stricken pilot. Gerard located the plane, he began flying next to it, and he radioed directions to the pilot. He literally became eyes, he literally gave vision to this blinded pilot. And Gerard talked him down, and O'Neill's pilot was coming to the runway, and when he hit it, he bounced up off of the runway. He came around a second time, did the same thing, hit it, and bounced up off the runway again. Thankfully, on his third attempt, he made a successful landing, all because someone became vision for him. In this new year, I want us individually and as Grace Point Church to gear up with God and allow him to give us his vision for our personal lives, our family lives, and for our church life. We need God to give us vision in fresh ways, in new ways, sometimes in old ways, so we can accomplish all he's calling us to do. God give us vision. So I'm starting a new 3-week series called Gearing Up with God for 2024. This is the first part. Today I want to talk about how to regain your vision. You ever feel like in your life, maybe as a church, you've lost a little bit of vision? Maybe you didn't realize it, but all your vision was gone. I read a verse a little while ago before we started our fellowship time. It said, where there is no vision, the people perish. That is a very small verse, but packed with so much spiritual and practical truth for you and for our church. We need to realize if we run out of vision, if we have nothing that we're striving toward, a vision bigger than just coming here every Sunday to do worship, which we love to do, if our vision is no bigger than that, we're going to perish. We can't just go Sunday by Sunday. We need something more. We need something larger than that. How do we regain our vision? I'm going to give you a little bit of background about the story we're going to look at today. It's the story of a blind man. His name was Bartimaeus. You may have heard about this story in the Bible. He and Jesus met near Jerusalem during the last week of Jesus' ministry before his crucifixion. And Jesus came up to Jerusalem, and in any place where they had major cities, they had gates guarding the city. And at the gates, blind beggars gathered. In every major city in the Middle East, they gathered there. Because back in that day, being blind was the worst curse you could have. Today, it's not like that. People who are blind, who don't have all of their sight or have no sight, because of technology and education, they can live highly effective, highly accomplished lives. But it wasn't like that in Jesus' day. If you didn't have your vision, you could do nothing. So they literally camped out at the city gates and they begged for mercy, for food. I want to read this story for you. It's out of Luke chapter 18. It's verses 35 through 43. Here's what it says. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening, and they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." This blind beggar, he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped. He ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. From this story of Jesus healing a blind man, from this story of Jesus restoring this man's vision, we get the process by which God gives you your vision back, or that God can give you a vision for the first time, or that God can give us as Grace Point Church our vision back. So how does that happen? First of all, if you have your outlines, take them out of your bulletins. You can follow along. You can fill in some blanks as we go through this. How does that happen? Number one, we need to believe that Jesus can change my situation. We really need to believe that Jesus can change our situation. This is the hope step. You must have hope to change. Luke 18:35 through 38, Jesus approached Jericho. A blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. He heard the crowd going by. He asked, "What's happening?" They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I'm sure the crowd looked around. They're looking at this guy and they're thinking, "Who is this guy making a scene about Jesus?" What a cry of desperation they must have been thinking. But it wasn't a cry of desperation. It was a cry of hope. Because if he didn't believe Jesus could heal him, he wouldn't have embarrassed himself by standing up and hollering out in front of a huge crowd. Today, a lot of people have lost their hope. And the reason why sometimes is because we put our hope in the wrong source. There's only one source that will never disappoint you, and that is God. If you're going to have a source of hope, you don't put it in anything that can be taken away from you or anything that can disappoint you. Hope must be in Jesus alone, because only he can meet all of the needs that we have. Look what the Bible says at this verse in 1 Peter 1:19 and then in verse 21. It says, God paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ. Because of this, your trust can be in God who raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. Now your faith and hope can rest in him alone. In Jesus Christ alone do we find ultimate hope. Believe that Jesus can change your life situation. He may not be changing it now. He may not change it. But you got to believe that he can. And if he wants to, he will. And if he doesn't, if he keeps you right where you are, that's his answer to your prayer. And you still have hope. All right, God, I'm not moving. Nothing's changing. I'm in the same situation. I've had the same thoughts. I have the same disappointments. God, and yet trust in Jesus. He's your hope. He's either going to change it or he's going to give you a need to get through it. Do you ever notice how sometimes we need to live in those tough times? I don't really want to live in those tough times. I've been through enough lately. You know some of my story. Thank God he's bringing me through. Somebody said this morning, you look like your old self. And they emphasized old. Believe that Jesus can change your situation. Secondly, you must ignore all the negative voices. This is the second step. I call this the resistance step. There's a hope step and now a resistance step. Charles Franklin Kettering was an American inventor and the holder of over 300 patents. He was head of the research for General Motors for 27 years. And among his most widely used automotive inventions were the electrical starting motor and unleaded and leaded gasoline. He was also responsible for the invention of Freon, what goes into refrigerants and refrigerators, air conditioners, to make us feel comfortable with that cold air. He was an incredible genius. And he said this, "When I was research head of General Motors and wanted a problem to be solved, I'd place a table outside the meeting room with a sign that says, 'Leave slide rules here.'" He said, "If I didn't do that, I'd find some engineer reaching for a slide rule, then he'd stand up on his feet and saying, 'But we can't do this.'" Sometimes that's what we do with God, and God is telling you, put your slide rule down. You can do anything with me. Sometimes resistance is given. God can take care of that. Many folks go through life without vision. Many times people go through their life struggling with what's going to happen next, and all they hear are negative voices. You've got to ignore that, folks. A lot of people go through life with no vision. They don't want you having vision either. If they're going to be down, they want you to be down as well. If they really don't hear a voice from God, if they don't have an idea of where God's leading them, they want you to be the same way. And all the negative voices all around you will try to pull you back from that vision. Put your slide rules in the box. Don't let people tell you it can't be done, that God doesn't want you to have a vision, that He doesn't want this church to have a vision. One of the greatest fears people have is the fear of the disapproval of other people. If you fear the disapproval of others, you will never have God's vision for your life. If our church has fears, can we really do this? Are we really going to become this? Is this really going to happen? If we have fears, we'll never have God's vision for our church. Because you can't please God and please everybody else at the same time. Would you agree with that? You can't. You've got to decide who you're going to live for. The audience of your peers or the audience of one. Luke 18:39 says this, "Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet." They told him to shut up. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd is saying, "Hey, cool it, guy, chill out. Jesus is an important person. You're just a blind beggar. Who do you think you are? Shut up and be quiet." And what the crowd is basically saying to Bartimaeus is, surely Jesus isn't interested in you, not at this time, so just be quiet. Sometimes we say that to ourselves, sometimes often. And the devil puts it in your mind, surely you've got to be kidding. You want to think that about God? You want to ask God about that? Our church wants this to happen. You've got to be kidding. Satan would tell us. Folks, if you're ever going to regain your vision for your life, you're going to have to ignore the negative voices around you, even the negative voices in your own mind. If we're going to grow and have vision for what God wants for Grace Point Church, we've got to ignore everybody else, whether it's in the church or outside of the church, saying, you can't do that. It's not going to happen. You ignore that. If Grace Point wants to regain vision, we have to ignore and banish negative naysayers. When they say no, we say yes, through Jesus we can. Look at Proverbs 29:25. The fear of human opinion disables you. Do you hear that? Listen, look at that. That is such a great verse. The fear of human opinion disables you, but trusting in God protects you from that. You're either going to have to fear other people around you, or you're going to have to trust God. You have to have the step of hope. I believe Jesus Christ can change my situation. Then you have to have the step of resistance, resisting those voices you hear, just like what Bartimaeus did. He said, I don't care what the crowd thinks. I don't care if they tell me to shut up and be quiet. I'm going after Jesus and my dream and my vision. I want it back. Jesus, heal me. Here's what I want to say, folks. You'd worry a whole lot less about what people think of you if you realize how little they actually think of you. They may throw something out there about you to you, about our church, and then they don't think about it anymore. And we're on this other side going, oh my gosh, did you hear? They don't care. Don't listen to what they're saying. If you're going to get your vision back, if Grace Point is going to have vision, you've got to have hope. You've got to believe that Jesus can change your situation. And you've got to ignore the negative voices that come your way. Number three, you must listen for God's call. You actively must listen for God's call. This is the attention step of getting your vision back. You've got to pay attention to what God means You've got to listen to what he says. You need to slow down. You need to stop sometimes so you can hear him. We realize what it means to get just too busy. Too many irons in the fire, folks. You can have so many irons in the fire, you put the fire out. Sometimes we just need to stop. In Mark 10, 49 and 50, it says this. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up. Get up on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped up to his feet and came to Jesus. Jesus called Bartimaeus, and Jesus is calling you. He's calling our church. We must listen to God's call. Calling and vision always go together. God is calling us as a church, as Grace Point Church. I don't know all of what God is calling us to do. I don't know all of what God is wanting us to be. I don't even know how he's going to make it happen. I wish I could say, here it is. I don't understand it all. But I know he's going to call us. And I want us to be ready to say, God, I see it. God, I trust you. I don't understand it. We don't have the means by which to do it. But I hear you. I'm listening to you. It says here that Jesus called Bartimaeus. Here's the point, folks. Bartimaeus could have missed God's call if he wasn't listening. If he just said, well, it's not going to happen. I'm a nobody. I'm one of 50 beggars out here. It's just not going to develop. He would have missed God's call if he wasn't listening. He could have been so busy shouting, hey, I'm over here, hear me, that he couldn't hear Jesus calling back to him. Sometimes the only way we're going to hear God call us is to be quiet. Sometimes we're most uncomfortable when we're quiet and everything around us is quiet because we're so used to noise. We're so used to some noise coming from somewhere, somehow, all the time. We need sometimes just to be quiet. Read a passage of Scripture. Get along with God. Talk with him. And then just be quiet for a while. Get a little antsy about minute number two, trying to be quiet before God, because we want God to say something right away. Just be quiet. You can't get God's vision if you're distracted by less important things. Look at Isaiah 30, 15. He says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." Underline that word, quietness. In repentance, we get our salvation. In quietness and trust, we get strength. Notice you get strength in quietness and trust. To overcome stress, you have to have periods of quietness where you can hear the call of God in your life. That's why periodically you just need to get alone and be quiet with God. I know it's hard to do, but you need it. You need to find a way. You need to find the time. You need to be consistent in being quiet before God. Be amazed when you do that. When you realize the first time God is saying whatever he is saying to you. It's interesting in here that in listening for God's call, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, and the crowd now says to this blind man to whom they spoke just moments before, and they said, "Shut up. Jesus isn't interested in you. Just get back down on the ground." And now look what they're doing. "Cheer up, man. Get on your feet. Come on. Jesus is calling you." Notice how the crowd's thoughts have changed. Earlier they're saying, "Shut up." And now they're saying, "Cheer up." Oh, how fickle the crowd can be. One moment you're a hero, the next moment you're a zero. How quickly public opinion changes. Listen, folks, if Jesus calls you, it doesn't matter what the crowd says. You better do it. You better believe it, because it's going to be the right thing if Jesus is calling you. Okay? The question we need to ask ourselves individually and as a church, as Grace Point Church, God, are we being still enough to hear you? Sometimes, I think, listen, do you hear it? Sometimes I think even in church and as a church, we just need to take time to be quiet. God, what do you say? God, what do you want? God, how do you want to bless me? God, how do you want to change me? To listen in quiet. You got to believe that Jesus can change you. You need to ignore the negative voices. You need to listen for God's call by being quiet. And number four, tell God exactly what you want. Tell God exactly what you want. In Luke 18, 40 and 41, it says, when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want for me to do? It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Here's a guy, gets up, comes to Jesus. Jesus, okay, what do you want? What do you want? Bartimaeus didn't go into this long speech. He just said, I'd like to see, Lord. I'd like to see. Jesus said, okay, here you go. Here's your sight. The simplicity of that. A miracle is happening. And the simplicity is a man who wanted something asked Jesus. And Jesus said, okay, I'll give you just what you wanted, just the way you asked. He doesn't always do that. But sometimes he does. And we don't have to make a big show about it. We ask Jesus, and here's what Jesus says. Here's your sight. It's simple. Probably took 10 seconds. When he got there, Bartimaeus didn't have to think about the answer to the question, what do you want me to do for you? He already knew what he wanted. He knew. I suggest that maybe you go home and sit down and spend some time thinking, what is it that I really want? What is it that I really need? You say, well, wait a minute, Kevin, if Jesus is Jesus, if Jesus is God, doesn't he already know everything? Yes, he does. So why did he, Jesus, ask the man what he wanted if Jesus already knew what he was going to ask for? Folks, every time God asks you a question, it's never for his benefit. When God asks you a question, it's because he wants you to know the answer. He wants you to have it clarified in your mind. Jesus knew what Bartimaeus wanted. He's giving Bartimaeus the opportunity to publicly announce his faith. I wonder, if Jesus walked in here today and he asked you, stand up, tell me what you want God to do in your life. It would scare most of us to death to announce that in front of people. He didn't take this man aside. He was in the midst of the crowd. And the man, the blind beggar, stands up in front of everybody and says, I want to see. Many of us would think, well, I'm not going to do that. What if I say the wrong thing? What if it sounds self-centered? What if it's too personal? What if it's too big of a request or too small of a request? And Jesus is asking you this question, what do you want me to do for you? Tell me your vision. Tell me your dream. Tell me your goal. Individually and as Grace Point Church. Look at Romans 8:32. It says, since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? Folks, if God solved our biggest problem, which was getting out of hell into heaven, then everything else seems like small potatoes. If God loved us enough to come and die for us on the cross, don't you think he loves us enough to help us with our mortgage or a bill? Maybe you're out of work. Don't you think God is going to help you with that? Maybe that part of your body that isn't working well right now and you want healing? Tell God what you want. I realize your head can be spinning sometimes and you don't even know what you want. You're afraid to ask because you think you'll never get it. I understand that. Trust me, I get that. But tell them what you want anyhow. You know, if we were to have folks stand up this morning and say, here's what I want, I would hope we would be a kind of church that no matter what that sounded like to us, we would stand with them in grace and support them and pray for them. And then when the next person stood up and said the same thing in front of everybody, but they wanted something different, they needed something different, I would hope that we would stand next to them and with them and pray for them and support them. That's the kind of church Grace Point is, and I pray will forever be. Tell God what you want. Number five, you receive your vision in faith. That's what Bartimaeus did. He received it in faith. Jesus, it says in Luke 18:42 and 43, Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight. Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Folks, receiving and faith go together. That's how you receive the vision. You receive it by faith. Faith is placed in a person. Bartimaeus didn't have faith in an outcome. He was thinking positively. He had happy thoughts, but he was placing his faith not in karma, but in Christ. He placed his faith in a person, not a possibility. He knew Jesus was the only answer, and he placed his faith in him. And whether he got to see or never saw, he was trusting Jesus. That's what we need to do. If God, we have a vision, we say, here it is, God, here's what I want. If it doesn't happen when we think it will, as we think it should, we are okay because our faith isn't in what we asked. It's in Jesus, and he never changes. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus was the only answer, and he placed his faith in him. It's interesting. Many of us would say, well, I don't have that kind of faith. Welcome to my club. I don't have that kind of faith either. But you know what I like? The Bible tells us we don't need great faith. We can have faith the size of a mustard seed. If I was holding a mustard seed right here, you couldn't see it. That's how small it is, insignificant. If you just have faith as big or small as a mustard seed, God says, I'll answer. I'll give you the answer I want you to have when you ask for it. Bartimaeus may have been physically blind, but he actually could see something. He could see Jesus, the person in whom he placed his faith. Look at John 1:16. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Jonathan sang that song earlier. So many blessings we can't count. We don't have time enough on this side of heaven to count all of our blessings. We receive blessing after blessing after blessing because of the fullness of God's grace. Romans 4:16 says this. That's why faith is the key. God's promise is given to us as a free gift. You've got to have faith. Even when things are not happening the way we think we need them to, and we've asked God about them, maybe we've even stood up among our small group and we said, this is what I need, it's not happening, you still got to maintain that faith. Have you ever noticed that when we ask God for something in our minds, intentionally or unintentionally, we have a timeline in which we want that prayer answered? Do you ever notice that? And have you ever noticed that our timeline and God's sometimes don't match? Guess who wins that fight? Sometimes it's just a matter of keeping the faith until God says, now it's time. Now it's the right time. Believe God can change you. Ignore the negative voices. Listen for God's call. Tell God what you want to receive. Trust Him by faith, having faith in Him, in His timing. And then last, number 6, stick with Jesus on the road He travels. Stick with Jesus on the road He travels. If you want to keep your vision, if our church wants to keep its vision, we need to stay on the road with Jesus. On the road that He travels. That's what happened to Bartimaeus. Look at Luke 18:43. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Bartimaeus used to sit by the gates. Now he's following Jesus on the road that Jesus is walking on. Remember the first part of the story? It said as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside. Then when his vision is restored, now he's following Jesus on the road. He's either sitting beside the road as a beggar or he's following Jesus on his road. Here's one of the most important questions of the day. Which of those two phrases is going to describe you? Which one of those is going to describe our church? Are we going to be sitting on the side of the road watching life pass you by? Or are you going to be following Jesus on His road? What's our church going to do? We just going to stay here with the nice, we got a good attendance. We're having good people come. Is that okay? That's great. Are we going to stay there? I hope that's not our vision, because there's a whole lot of people around us who don't even know what Jesus can do for them, what He's already done for them. There's people around, I bet within 10 blocks of this place, people don't know what Jesus can do. There are people around the state of South Carolina. There are people in our country. There are people literally all over the world that don't know that yet. They're still sitting by their gate. Whether they're calling out literally, verbally, or just in their heart, their mind, they're waiting for somebody to let them know about Jesus so they can follow Jesus on His road. Are you going to be sitting on the side of the road watching life go by, or are you going to get up and follow Jesus on His road? It's my prayer that you would do that. It's my prayer that our church would do that. How's your vision? Time to regain your vision. Time to regain some of your vision that was lost. How is it for our church? What vision do we have? As a group of people who meet here every week as Grace Point Church, want you to watch a video about dreaming again. All right? Here it goes. Rather powerful, isn't it? It's encouraging. I've had a lot of dreams for my life. Some were just good faith dreams that I felt like God had given me to do work that I felt called to do. And sometimes because of my own poor choices, sometimes because of choices that were made for me over which I had no control, the dream got lost. I don't know how long it's been now, 12, 13 years ago, 14 years ago, some folks got together and asked me to guide them in building a new church. That church was Crossroads Church, and I remember them asking me, and I didn't even need to pray about it. I pray about it. I just said, no, I'm not doing that anymore. It's not for me. I'm not for it. And my lovely wife, Libby, said, are you sure? I said, yes, wife, I'm sure. You know I didn't say that. And they came back to me again, and I said no. And they came back to me again, and Libby and I talked about it and prayed about it. She said, you know, maybe you should. And I did. And the dream I had that had been squelched and lost by me came back. And now here we are, what used to be Calvary, what used to be Crossroads, we are Grace Point. What is your dream? What is your vision for your life? What is God giving to you personally, as a family? What is God giving us to dream and have vision of and for in Grace Point Church? That's something I'm asking you to prayerfully consider and to pray for our church. You do that. Maybe on your Connect card, here's what I'd like you to do. Just write on there on the back and say, Pastor, I'm praying for our vision for our church, so we know you're doing that. Put that on there and take this card and put it in one of the white boxes during the response time or on your way out. let us know. And if you want to just let us know, here's a vision I have for our church. Here's something I think we can do here in our community. Here's a vision I have for our church that maybe we can do outside of our community. Here's a vision for our church I think we can do down the road, doing missions in places overseas, different countries. I just want to know that you are becoming visionaries for our church, just like your pastors are attempting to do the same thing. I'm excited about where God has brought us. And I believe we're right on path where he wants us to be. But I don't want to camp out there. Now, I will admit, I could camp there on Sunday mornings with you. And you must love them too. You wouldn't keep coming back. But we can't camp here. We get refueled here. We grow with God here. We worship him. We have incredible fellowship. Now what, God, do you want to do with that? Through us, give us your dream. Give us your vision. For Grace Point Church, God, give it to me for me. Give it to me for my family. Libby and I have dreams and visions for our families. It always starts with getting them back in line with him. We ask God all the time to hook our kids and our grandkids. Hook them, get their attention somehow, and then put them somewhere where somebody will love them and talk with them and help lead them to Jesus. Maybe you need to start there with your family. What will be your dream? What will be your vision? What will be our dream and vision at Grace Point? I don't know it all, but I know this. Right now, we may not see it clearly, but like Bartimaeus, Jesus is going to give us that vision very clearly, and we're going to get up and receive it, and wow, walk on the road that Jesus is walking on and do stuff we could never, never have imagined. We had 162 people here Christmas Eve. Some said 165. That was probably Pastor John. He always exaggerates up. I'd like to have 162 people every Sunday and just get started with that. And unless we build a huge, bigger building, we go to two services. I don't care. Whatever God wants. I don't like two services. It's twice the work for the same money. That's all right. Are you getting my message today? Are you getting God's message today? Okay, then I'll shut up. Let's pray together, okay? Let's pray. We just need to pray. God, I want to thank you for giving us vision. God, sometimes we lose that vision. We have lost that vision. That happens from time to time. But God, help us, like Bartimaeus, just to get back up and to walk with you, Jesus, to walk on your road, in your timing, in your way, the way you instruct us individually, as families, and as your church. God, I realize you'll reveal that vision to us in a variety of ways. Make us sensitive, God, to you and your spirit. So when we hear it, we can share it, we can act on it, we can live in the blessing of it. God, there's no doubt there are people here today whose dreams have been lost, whose visions have been damaged. Fix that. Bring encouragement. Bring a word of hope, so their dreams and visions can be regained. Do it for your church, for Grace Point, in your timing and in your way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the message challenging us reach out and share our dreams, your dreams, for our life, our family, our church. We love you. We thank you. And Lord, from this day on, from that day that you saved us, help us to share that message wherever we go. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen.